Luke chapter 8, please, beginning tonight in verse 22. Familiar story. It says, "Now it came to pass on a certain day that he went into a ship with his disciples. And he said unto them, Let us go over unto the other side of the lake. And they launched forth. But as they sailed, he fell asleep. And there came down a storm of wind upon the lake, and they were filled with water and were in jeopardy. And they came to him, and they awoke him, saying, Master, Master, we perish. And then he arose, and he rebuked the wind and the raging of the water, and they ceased, and there was a calm. And then he said unto them, Where is your faith? And they, being afraid, wondered, saying one to another, What manner of man is this? For he commands even the winds and the water, and they do obey him." Jesus still commands the wind and the water. Amen? He still has authority over the elements. Amen. And if we could just take out of verse 25, tonight's teaching, we'll just take a little time, but where is your faith? Where is our faith? Where is your faith? Where is my faith? That's a question asked of the Master of those he was discipling and those whom he loved. Nothing pleases God more than the development of your faith, and nothing pleases Satan more to erode your faith. Amen. You and I need an infusion of faith. We need to believe God for all things. Amen. Where is your faith tonight? Name of the message. Let's go before God in prayer. Father, again, we just want to thank you for those that have attended tonight's service. And Father, I just thank you for this midweek opportunity to break the bread of life, the Word of God. Help us tonight, Lord, with the help of heaven, with the help of the Holy Spirit. Lord, that you would touch the preacher and touch the ears and the hearts of the hearers. Lord, move in this time. Gladden our heart. Encourage our spirit. And Lord, we look to you for all good things. And tonight everybody said amen and amen. There are really two conditions of the heart where human beings can find themselves, even with believers. And that is either in what is called biblical faith or simple unbelief. There's two areas that I can be in tonight. I can be in unbelief or I can be in faith. I ask you a question tonight when you come into this house. Were you in unbelief or were you in faith? Amen? You see, if I'm in biblical faith, I am operating in the law of the Spirit of life, which is in Christ Jesus, if it's a biblical faith. I know we have the Word of Faith teachings out there, and even Liz and I this last weekend sharing with a brother, listening to where he was coming from. You can tell he's from the Word of Faith camp. And really, what they teach, if you get right down to it, it's really faith in your ability to have faith. But the faith that honors God and the faith that will move mountains is not so much the quantity of our faith, but it's the quality of our faith. Amen? We got Christians that embark on a lifelong journey to somehow, through their religious exercise, to increase their faith. And the more of it they get, the more they think they can get from God. I'm learning the very opposite in these last few years. I'm learning that God just wants faith as a grain of mustard seed. He's not asking much. But the faith that he wants from my heart and my life is my faith in the finished work of Jesus Christ on a daily basis, moment by moment. Amen. He wants me to have faith in the finished work of his Son. Amen. And he wants me to park my life there and live my life there in the rest that is in Jesus Christ. Amen. And I got to fight that good fight just to stay in that simple faith most of the time. Amen. To be in true biblical faith, it's going to be a fight. There's going to be a struggle against your will, your flesh, circumstances, the winds and the waves that blow contrary to your and my life from time to time. I wish we could get up every day and it would just be a beautiful day, but storms come, problems come, situations come, setbacks come, traumatic events come. Sharing with a brother before prayer meeting tonight, he had lost his spouse here a little over a year ago, and just so disheartened and just grieving. And God understands that. But it's hard to encourage a discouraged soul sometimes. You know, and when we can just say, well, just have faith, you know. That's really not always the most practical answer at that time, but it's still the true answer. Even faith, simple faith in the finished work of Jesus will get me through anything I have to go through. Amen. Even if my heart is hurting and if I'm broken, if I just have faith in my God, my King, my Savior, His shed blood for me, I'm going to make it. I'm going to get through it. Amen. And if you noticed, God has brought you through many waters through your journey with Him. And you're still here tonight. You still love Jesus. Your name is still in Heaven's Book of Life. Amen. It wasn't great faith. It was simple faith in Jesus and what He did for you at the cross. And you're learning to put your faith there. And if I keep my faith there, I'm functioning in the law of the Spirit of life that is in Christ Jesus. Which means that I get the grace of God dispensed into my life on a moment-by-moment basis, amen? And somehow the grace of God enables all things to work together for good to them that love God, amen? All God wants of me is faith, faith in the finished work, amen? And that must be the object of your faith and the daily fight of your faith. I'm trusting Jesus. I'm trusting in His blood. I don't understand it all, but the cross is my strength. And there He won it all for me. And if I just trust that and believe that, I'll be in God-honoring faith. And God will help me get through my day on the victory side of the Red Sea. Amen. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. As we look at this faith thing, we said there's two conditions of the heart, faith and unbelief. Understand this tonight, that unbelief really is the sin that damns the soul. Jesus would say it this way, He that believeth on Him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already, because he has not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. Jesus said that was the condemnation that condemned men to an eternity without God. It begins in this natural life. Jesus would even go on to say, not all men have faith. And what He's talking about, not all men will believe upon Jesus Christ. Amen? But unbelief is what damns the soul. It's not so hard. It's not always the sin, the act of sin that the unbeliever is committing, as horrible as that is at times. But what it is, it's the condition of that heart that will not put their faith in Jesus Christ for the remedy of sin. Amen? You see, faith and unbelief, they're two opposing twins. You got faith on the good side of this thing, and you got the evil twin of unbelief. And friend, there's a fine line between the two. You and I have found this in our sojourn with Jesus, that there are times when you're in faith and you're believing God and all is well. But then there are other times it's like unbelief is knocking at our heart's door, and we're struggling believing God even for the simple things of our daily life, especially when a few setbacks come, especially when temptation overwhelms us. Especially when things don't go like we think they should be going. Amen. And if you're not careful, that's where Satan gets advantage of us. I think of Judas tonight. It came to a point because he had a predetermination. There was an agenda in his heart. And when he saw the ministry of Christ was beginning to go in a different direction than what he thought it should go, it was opposing his agenda. It said, then Satan entered into him. It came a point where that faith that he began with began to erode. And when he finally gave himself over to the unbelief, and the unbelief is the law of sin and death. What happened then? He died. He committed suicide. He threw off faith. Satan got an advantage of a weakness in his heart, his spirit, and he went into a perpetual unbelief that eventually took him out. That's how serious this is tonight. You and I got to have faith. Faith in the crucified. Faith in the finished work. Faith in the Son of God. Amen. Who is the governor of my life? Who is Lord over my life? Who calms the wind and the seas and controls all the elements? We find out in the book of Job that God really is the final say on even the events of life that come into the life of a believer. You know, we don't understand when the tests come and the trials come. We want the sunny weather all the time. I mean, but in this life, you will have tribulation. You're going to have struggles. You're going to have some battles. Amen. You're going to have offenses. People are going to offend you. You're going to get worked up with people. You're going to think people should be doing things they shouldn't be doing, and you think they shouldn't be doing things they should be doing, and vice versa, and all the other things. I mean, you know, you're going to get offended. People are going to do you wrong, especially in church life. Amen. You're going to realize that every individual, every believer, every preacher is a human being, is a person. Amen. And we all have our shortcomings and our limitations. I always said it this way, but it's amazing anything gets done in the kingdom of God with the fickleness of people. Amen. I'll sit at the head of that table too. Amen. But God does get things done. As men believe, as people will exhibit faith. Hallelujah. You see, unbelief is that twin evil of faith. How can I say that? Condemn the soul. You see, all sin and its practice, we have to understand tonight, comes from that heart of unbelief. Do you realize that tonight? Paul will say it this way, whatsoever is not of faith is sin, or is of the sin. Amen. Think about that tonight. Whatsoever is not of the faith is sin. What is the faith? The faith is your trust in Christ and His shed blood. That is your portion. That is your place. Amen. Whatsoever is not of that faith is transgression. Because one now is thinking they have faith, but operating in an unbelief. At least scripturally, what am I trying to say? If my faith isn't finished in the finished work of Jesus Christ, if my faith is not in the blood of the Son of God, if I'm not trusting in and taking up my cross daily, then my faith is misplaced into something else. God counts it as an unbelief because it's not of the faith. Amen. And whatsoever is not of the faith is transgression. The word sin there, but transgression, it would be understood better. Even in Galatians, Paul would say, those of you that are trying to be justified by Christ are now found to be transgressors because they are now putting their trust and faith back into their performance, back into their religious routines that they've come out of. See, and this is what we got to understand. God wants one kind of faith tonight. Trust in the crucified. Trust in Him. Trust in His blood. Amen. Hallelujah. And the rest will work out according to the grace of God. So, we look at this. Where's our faith tonight? It's a good question. It's a good question. Unbelief is so serious. Unbelief is so devastating that even Jesus upbraided His disciples because of it. It says in Mark 16 that He upbraided them with their hardness of heart and their unbelief. You see, when the women went to the disciples and told them the Lord was risen from the dead, they, through hardness of heart, did not believe them. Even though Jesus was telling them all along, I will be crucified and raising in the third day. The third day they come, we've seen the Lord. I don't believe you. Like Thomas, until I see it, I'm not going to believe it. That's our nature. That's all of our nature. You know, if you and I lived in that time, I don't know if the ladies came in and said, hey, we saw the Lord, I think it'd perk up our ears a little bit, but would you really believe them? Because it's something in you, I got to see. Is this true or not? Amen. See. But think about it this way. That unbelief. You see, you and I, we don't get hands-on with Jesus. We can only accept it by faith. The gospel, from that day forward, was going to go forward through the testimony of people to other people. Blessed are they that hear and believe. See, you and I, we heard God dealt with us. We believed. We were saved, born again. Christ came within. Amen? And how can we not be talked out of it? Because being born of God, you can't talk somebody out of genuine faith in Jesus Christ that's had an experience with Jesus Christ, at least for the most part. Amen? So think about it. The gospel's got to go forth on the hearts of men, the testimonies of others. And that's why Jesus was so hard on the disciples when they wouldn't believe. He upbraided them for their hardness of heart and their unbelief. Because this is the mechanism by which the gospel was going to go forward into the hearts of men in every generation. Amen. It's a serious thing. You know, we got to be careful, friend. Even in Promised Land Church, even tonight, on Wednesday night in 2015 here, that you and I don't get so complacent, so gospel-hardened, because we've heard this and we hear these things. You know, there's repetition's a good thing. But we got to be careful. Our faith every day needs to be fresh. Do you know when they did the showbread in the Old Testament tabernacle? We'll be getting back to that a little bit here. But think about it. They had to make that showbread fresh every day. That portrayed the freshness of the Word of God is a fresh thing every day for the believer. Amen? And they were starting to despise the manna that fell down from heaven, that light bread. We loathe this light bread. See? And a whole generation died off in that wilderness. You know, and we're warned in Scripture, even in the New Testament, to be careful of that example. See? So listen, every day it's got to be a fresh day of trusting God. A fresh day of believing God. Because this is a day the Lord hath made. I will rejoice. I will be glad in it. That's a faith declaration. Amen. Amen. Faith, 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 faith. Simple faith. Hallelujah. Glory to God. So where is your faith tonight? Where's my faith? What a question. Unbelief can literally tie the hands of God. We've talked about this many times. Jesus went to his homeland. He could do there no mighty work. He could do there no mighty work. God forbid he ever has to say that about Jeff Steiner. He can do in him no mighty work. What would Jesus write over your heart's door tonight? Could he do there no mighty work? Or are you open for business? My heart is ready for Jesus. And my heart is ready for whatsoever the Lord asks of me. Amen. Is my heart believing? Am I trusting? Am I looking to him today? Amen. Amen. Listen, I know it's easy to rejoice when everything's going right. But we've been tested in this when it hasn't been going right. And it's not been hard. I think the hardest time I remember pastoring this church when I had the body shop, everything was going upside down. Everything. 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 What's wrong? Lord, what's going on? To the point where when I'd come home at night, I'd be as white as a sheet. I was exhausted. There were times I had to sit down. I had so much work to do on these long-term projects, I couldn't keep up. And things started getting behind, and the economy tanked and everything. And then, you know, it's going to sound like anti-faith what I'm saying, but I remembered I had that blue Yukon that time. I went out and we bought that, and I thought we need this for the shop work and everything, and on a moment I just went out and bought the thing, and, you know, because I felt good about it, and so, you know, I thought, well, the Lord must be in it. I feel good about it, you know, and it was just one of those seasons. Well, what happens when you're struggling and you get pinched on cash flow, amen? It was a Wednesday, I remember. Liz was at the shop there. It was Wednesday night church a few hours from there. And the truck came in, parked us in, and repossessed my truck right in front of me with the neighbors watching. And I had to preach in about 3 hours right here in this church. You know, wow. You talk about feeling ashamed. You talk about feeling what went wrong. You talk about feeling what kind of testimony is that. You talk about feeling like a miserable failure. You know? But can I tell you something?
just a little flicker of faith that somehow, Lord, we're coming through this. We got through that Wednesday night, and we got through a Sunday, and we got through a Wednesday night, and we got through a Sunday, and then some people started leaving the church, and we got through another Wednesday night, and we got through another Sunday, and we got through another Wednesday night, and we got through another Sunday. Amen. And guess what happened? Some people started coming to church. Amen. And we had another Wednesday night and another Sunday morning, and the years have gone on, and we are yet here today. And guess what? God, little by little, is restoring us, putting us back together again. He's redeeming us from destruction. Amen. He's wiping away the reproach of famine from among the heathen. You see, that's what faith in Jesus Christ will do. Amen. And three quarters of other things I don't have time to tell you about. What I'm trying to say, where is your faith? They're in the storm of their life. They're out on the lake. And I don't know about you, but I've been on a lake when the waves get out of control. And it's no fun. It's no fun. And that's where they are. And Jesus is sleeping. Jesus is sleeping. He's with them in the boat. But they went up to him and they said, Master, you're sleeping. We perish. Don't you care? And one of the other gospels says, don't you care that we perish? See, you know, what am I trying to say? When you follow Jesus, he might lead you right into a storm. I know when I started that work over that body shop over there, I knew the hand of the Lord was in it. Why it ended up that way, I don't know. But I know where God has taken us now, and it's making up for lost time. Why am I trying to say this? Because the journey of faith is never instant. There can be days, weeks, months, and years for God to renavigate something through. You know that when you read the end of the book of Job, you know what it says about Job? It says that God gave him double and gave him 10 other, I believe, children. And it says, and the daughters of Job were the fairest in the land. That just didn't happen in 3 months. To have 10 children, to be the fairest in the land. This was probably a 30, 40 year restoration. The point I'm trying to make tonight, if you get your faith anchored in the finished work of Jesus Christ, it may take some time. You might have to go and lose a few things, because some of those things you and I have in our life were not really maybe ordained of the Lord, and God will strip you and I of whatever is not of Him. And he will restore and rebuild what is of him. That's his way. That's his way. And that is the way of faith. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Am I ashamed of things? No. Because I knew what was going on at the time. We did everything we could to serve the Lord. We did everything we could to save face. We did everything the flesh could do, including calling on the Lord. But God had a bigger plan, a greater plan. And I'm thankful he brought us through those many waters. You know, if you read the story, the disciples did get to the other side of the lake. Jesus did calm the storm. Amen. He did deliver. He did intervene. It wasn't the way they thought, but he took care of the matter. You see, this is what faith trusts in. True biblical faith will rest. I don't maybe like what's going on. I don't like what I see. I don't like what's happening. Maybe I would have done a different. Maybe you would have done a different. But you know what? If we resign it to Jesus, and if we trust him, and if we keep believing him, guess what? We're going to end up on that other side where he wants us to be. Amen? And that's what it's really about. It's letting Jesus Christ navigate your life and direct your steps and guide your path. But it comes as you abide in simple faith. Amen. Faith is a grain of mustard seed. Not a lot. Amen. I come through a circle many years ago, you know, where we're trying to believe God for great, 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 great things. So big. But a lot of those great, 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 great things were big, were just nothing but things that would just inflate our ego anyway. Amen. I found it this way. By just keeping my faith in that finished work, he starts putting things in my spirit what to believe him for. And his work isn't grievous. Amen. He will begin to give vision, and he will begin to give direction,
And he will begin to give promises. And he will begin to quicken things into your heart that are of him. That are of him. That are of him. And they're good things. No good thing will he withhold from them that walk uprightly. Amen. That includes you. That includes me. Precious Jesus. Hallelujah. So, unbelief can literally tie the hands of God. But guess what? Faith can still move mountains. And it opens up unlimited possibilities. Amen. Hallelujah. I'm thankful for what God has done thus far. I'm still thankful that we're in this church and building and premise. I'm still thankful that you're here. Really, I am. Amen. I'm thankful for the body of Christ here in Watertown. I'm thankful for the opportunity to be able to teach and minister the Word of God to you. And this is all by faith. We're in this building by faith. Every month, we just made another month's rent. You know, praise the Lord. They're taking money off the principal. Every month that goes by, we owe less and less and less on this premise. Amen. You know, God takes care of it. He's what he's in. He provides for. Amen. Hallelujah. God makes the way, and you could give testimonies to. Amen. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. So, we got to look at faith as this. It's a settled living trust in the living God through Jesus Christ and his finished blood. But without faith, it's impossible to please him. He that comes to God must believe he is, and that he's a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. Faith is a settled living trust. You see, it's got breath, it breathes, it lives. Faith is a living thing. That's why Jesus said every day, every day, every day, every day. We look for the Word of God every day. We look to the crucified every day. It's a faith check. Is my faith alive? Is my faith in the crucified? Am I walking in him? Am I abiding in him? Amen. Even when you're doing work on a roof. Amen. Even when Andrew's working at Culver's. Even when Brother Dwayne does what he does. And Brother Carl does what he does. And the rest of you do what you do. Amen. Am I in faith? Yes. 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 Because God is in full control. Amen. He is in full control. So how important is faith? The just are to live by it. For the just shall live by faith. That's Romans chapter 1. Think about it. Faith is so important. The just, you and I that have been justified by faith, are to live in that. The just shall live by faith. Amen. That's the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus. That's where the true power of God is. Amen. The just shall live by faith. We receive the righteousness of God by faith. For it says his faith was counted for righteousness. That simple faith in the blood, that simple faith every day in Jesus crucified, gives you a perfect imputed righteousness every waking moment of your day and life. Abraham believed God and it was counted unto him for righteousness. Believing God, do you believe him? Do I believe him tonight? I do. I believe. I can honestly say, I believe Jesus Christ. I believe, and because I believe in that shed blood, I have been given by faith a perfect imputed righteousness that brings God's peace to my soul. Amen. Are you lacking peace tonight? The Bible says, because of faith, Romans 5:1, what does it say? Therefore, we are justified by faith and have peace with God. Man, the whole Bible can hinge on that. We are justified by faith and therefore have peace with God. Justified by what? Great faith? Superabundant faith? A worked up, conjured kind of faith? A pumped up kind of faith? No. A settled, simple, living, mustard seed type faith in Jesus. That's why the Bible would make comments like, when you're weak, then you're strong.
When our carpet has been pulled out from under us and all we got is to hang on to the hem of Jesus Christ, that's probably the strongest you'll ever be. Because He's everything now. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah.
And I don't know why it is, but God allows things to come our way that keep us having to cling to that nail-scarred hand. Again, by faith. Amen. Hallelujah.
How important is faith? The just are to live by it. We receive righteousness of God by faith. Our hearts are purified by faith. The Bible says, and He put no difference between us and them, purifying their hearts by faith. Purified our hearts by faith. That's our justification also. We're justified by faith, resulting in peace with God. And we're sanctified by faith, that they may receive forgiveness and an inheritance which are sanctified by faith in me, is what Jesus would tell Paul in the book of Acts. They are sanctified by faith in me. When my truck got repossessed, you know what was going on in my life? A work of sanctification. Sanctification isn't pretty all the time. Because for sanctification to have its effect, can I be honest with us tonight? We don't change too easy when everything's going the way we want them to go. The very change God wants in my heart, in my life, is when the setbacks come, when the storms blow. Those disciples in that boat, when they went and woke up Jesus, God was doing a work of sanctification in them. Jesus would say, "Where's your faith?" In the middle of a lake, they were in jeopardy. Water was filling the boat. He's sleeping. They go to Him in a subdued panic. You let this boat sink. What are you going to do? See, what they couldn't comprehend was in the midst of this kind of a storm, God wasn't going to let that boat sink as long as Jesus was in it. What's the lesson we get out of that? All Jesus wanted was that boat might be filling, but I want them to trust me, even though it looks like it's over. Now, if I was in that boat, I would have found a nice little open spot in that open bow and just kick back, put up my feet, and just let those waves come in, because if Jesus can be sleeping, so can I. Mm-hmm. Yes, yes. Now, you and I know people that think they have that kind of faith. Do you know there's even teaching today that said if Paul had the faith that some of the Word of Faith camp teaches, he wouldn't have been through all the beatings, stonings, and imprisonments? Oh, yeah. I read the articles. I saw the direct quotes. See, something's wrong with that. I don't know what it is, but at least on my end, life has not been easy. It's still not easy. There's times I wonder, like Asaph in Psalm 73, Lord, I feel like I'm chastened all day long. You know, look at the prosperity of the wicked. They everything goes their way. You know, look at me. Man, you know, ever feel like that? Jonah? Yeah. Every what? Every other day, twice on Sunday, I know. Yeah, kill them all, Lord. Yeah. Hallelujah. You know, as a preacher, years ago, I used to have that attitude. Lord, wipe them out. They don't want to serve you. Just let them go to hell. I don't care. You know, well, that's really the love of God in a shepherd's heart, huh? Amen. What do you think Peter was thinking when he said, "Should we call fire out of heaven and consume them, Lord?" What do you think was in his heart? Do you think he had the love of God in him? Amen. But I can honestly say that was back when, you know,
the cross and the blood, simple faith, has done a great work of grace, and I speak personally in this preacher. I'm not arrived. I got a long way to go. Thank God I'm not where I used to be. That he's loved me through it all. That he's humbled me. And God, don't ever let me get bigger than what I need to be. Amen. We got one message. It's not Pastor Jeff. So if you got an issue with Pastor Jeff, either pull me aside, talk to me about it, or just get in Christ. Because God's going to clean your clock too. And I won't judge you. Amen. If you won't judge me, even if you judge me, I won't judge you, because I got off that merry-go-round a time ago. Amen. God can make that weaker brother stand. He can do a great work in those. You know, I saw something today. I had to go to Conemaugh. I had to stop by the church and tend to a few things. And I see the church on the edge of town here. And first time I saw it, and I hope I'm saying it right, but they got a banner out in the big yard there. And it said, Jesus rejected no one, neither do we. And then it was all rainbow, meaning the homosexual agenda, we've embraced it. That's what they're saying. And what they're trying to say is that Jesus Christ somehow doesn't reject homosexuals, so we shouldn't either. You know, but what they're not understanding, they know nothing of biblical faith. To even put that out there, it just shows you the apostasy. When you get away from the truth, when you get away from the cross and from the blood, when you get away from biblical faith, then anything goes. And they'll stamp it with scriptures. They'll still call it God when it's not God. You know, when I was pondering that, I thought, how do we address that? I know I got an article to write for the Watertown newspaper, I think, in a few weeks here. And I thought, if I address that somehow, I could really ignite a firestorm. But then I got thinking about it. I thought, you know, when you go and you look at this, I'll come back to our message, but when you deal with this, first of all, I got to say this carefully. The spirit whereof, I think, is more important than anything when you're addressing such a touchy subject. The spirit whereof. We understand the biblical side of that, the filthiness of that, the abomination that is. But yet, those involved in it are not beyond the reach in the saving grace of Jesus Christ. Jesus died for them too. And I think that's, when you got ministries that are trying to support that, I think that's the side they're trying to take. Well, we got to show love and compassion, because by faith this is what God calls us to do, to love all kinds, so we can't reject these kind of people. So we welcome them in. You can come and worship here. I'll be first one to say, all of us come out of something. All of us have come out of something. And God has given us a new heart and saved us. And we got to be careful about segregating that one sin. But I'll say it this way. I would fear the judgment of God if I was at church. I would really fear the storm that could come their way for twisting truth and leading the innocent astray. When society is getting towards the end, it goes into homosexuality. That's what destroyed not just Sodom and Gomorrah, but it destroyed the Roman Empire. History tells us that. Secular history will tell us that. See. But it's got to be addressed. It's got to be dealt with. We love the homosexual. But God wants to save them out of their sin, not in their sin. Just like he wants to save the fornicator out of their sin, not in their sin. Just like he wants to save the alcoholic out of their sin, not in their sin. And faith in the crucified will break that bondage. And there is hope for all in Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. But it shows you what we're up against. And if we get a little vocal about some things, people will always twist your words, even twist the Even if you're in the right spirit, they will twist your words. Even if I write an article very carefully, it could, if I address that issue, you know. So pray for Pastor that God gives me something to say. When I saw that day, my heart just burned. I was angry. I was angry with that. But yet, realizing that Jesus died for them, but we don't compromise the Word of God for anybody and for any agenda. You can't do that. Amen. Hallelujah. Let me close. Getting back to faith. How important is it to just live by it? We receive righteousness by faith. We're justified by faith, sanctified by faith. We have access into the grace of God by faith. Where the Scripture says we have access by faith into this grace. You see, we walk by faith. Christ dwells in our hearts by faith. We inherit God's promises by faith. We stand by the faith. We are saved by faith. So again, the question tonight, where is your my faith? For according to your faith, so be it unto you. According to the words of Jesus Christ. I'm believing tonight. I'm believing God. I'm believing God is going to pour out of His Spirit in this house. I believe God isn't done with Promised Land. I believe there's much more. Amen? Amen. The world is yet to see what God is going to do through a church of people that will believe in simple faith. Hallelujah. And call on the Lord. Amen? Hallelujah. Where's your faith tonight? What if you were in the boat? How would you have reacted? Amen. Hallelujah.